Hello and welcome to another episode of the Vinyl Countdown, the podcast where I, Jeremy Levine, break down my favorite vinyl releases from cover to cover and everything in between. Oh man, Grail Week is upon us once again. Hey! So this week I am covering 2003's Casually Dressed and in Deep Conversation by Funeral for a Friend, a name that I can never say right the first time, but this is a Grail simply because it's been out of print for so long, and I'll get into it in Variant Corner, of course, but, you know, there was a pressing in 03, there was a 10-year anniversary pressing in 2013, and those are all going for $300, $400, $500, like, pretty much accepted the fact that I was never going to own it on vinyl, so I was like, man, fuck it, like, you know, you can have it, right? Sorry, collection, you're never going to get that record. And then, oh boy, you know, it was announced earlier this year, or actually in 2020, there was a whole thing, which actually, I'll save that, I'll get into it. But, you know, this band is one of those bands that I feel like a lot of people, myself included, first heard of them through a little-known game called Burnout 3. Not a little-known, it was actually pretty big, but it had one of the best soundtracks of any game of all time. And this, you know, one of their songs, actually the opening song, Rookie of the Year, was on that soundtrack. And I was like in love from the very first time I ever heard it. And that led me to then buying the record and getting the EPs that came before it, et cetera, et cetera. So it's like, that is what made me a fan of theirs, was that one exposure to them in that one video game like a long time ago, right? Before we get any further into the band and everything else, let's get on down to Variant Corner. So there are four pressings total. Again, like I said earlier, there was a 2003 release on black vinyl, no pressing count. Then another 10 years later, we got the 10-year anniversary press in 2013 on white vinyl. That was limited to 500 copies. There are two first pressings for sale, 146 and 250 respectively. The white variant has 8 for sale, ranging from an actually reasonable $70 up to $505. Now, that may seem crazy, but a copy actually sold in April of this year for $400. As far as I know, though, no one knew they were repressing the album when that person probably bought it, which, like, I bet they probably feel not happy about their purchase from, you know, buying it for so much and then it repressed and sold for like $25. Again, like I was saying earlier, all of the buzz around their second album, Hours, getting repressed in 2020. It was going to be for its 15th anniversary. COVID pushed that back to this year. And nobody knew they were going to repress their first three albums. We only thought that they were going to do Hours and that was it. So Tales Don't Tell Themselves was another, that's their third album. And again, didn't know we were getting represses. So going back to the $400 thing, does that warrant paying $400 for a record that you really want? I personally don't think so, but if you got the money, man, do you, you know? But again, fast forward to this year, they dropped this bombshell that not only Hours is getting repressed, but the first three records, and I lost my shit. There are 14 for sale, ranging from $30 to $55. I'm so glad that they got repressed in such large quantities, because for us that have been searching for years, and like this has been one of my grails for years, finally able to get it for retail, it's so great. I got all three albums on black because I missed out on what is the fourth variant, a box set that includes all three albums on clear vinyl, limited to only 500 worldwide. Now, those are selling from anywhere from $190 to $360. There are 13 available. It includes a 40-page booklet with interviews and never-before-seen photos. I'm pretty sure that one sold out in less than 5 minutes. But, you know, getting into the pressing, one thing that I always loved about this record in particular is the artwork. And the gatefold, you open it up, and there's, like, other... it's referencing other actual works of art, but it is in itself, I think, a work of art. Like, it's fucking great. and also, the record sounds awesome. Like, it definitely sounds like they, you know, I guess they were working with a good mix beforehand, but even still, this transition to the represses in these new vinyl, it's great. So, no complaints there, right? Let's get into the band and let's get into the album. So, Funeral for a Friend, are a Welsh post-hardcore band from Brigand, formed in 2001 and currently consist of Matthew Davies Cray, lead vocals, Chris Coombs Roberts, lead guitar, backing vocals, Gavin Burrow, guitars, backing vocals, Darren Smith on guitars, Richard, I don't know if it's Boucher or Boucher, the Louisiana me wants to say Boucher, it's a B-O-U-C-H-E-R, on bass, and Ryan Richards, again, my Louisiana ass is wanting to say Richard, but pretty sure it's Richards, on drums and screamed vocals. They rose to popularity in the United Kingdom with the release of their debut album, the one we're talking about today, of course, in 2003, achieving both a gold certification and three top 20 singles in their home country. It is one of the most acclaimed records, landmark emo records of the 2000s. Ours, in 2005, featured a similar musical style to their debut, but also featured more more melodic sensibilities. They were a hair softer, right? Then Tales Don't Tell themselves showed an evolution. Well, they pretty much didn't scream at all. Like, they toned it down a whole bunch on that record, which eventually that record will get its own episode, but I didn't like it initially back in 2007. I was not a fan of it, and I was like, man, what the fuck? Like, these first two records are great, and, you know, not just because they're screamy, but because they're just the mix of screaming melodic and the lyrics and the music. Like, it was just, I loved every single minute of both of those first two albums. And then this one came out and it was a lot more mellow. And I don't know, I just felt like it wasn't as good. But look, listening to it now, it is still a really good record. And I was just being an asshole. So, you know, again, they kind of went to a more melodic rock influence on that one. Those albums received gold and silver sales certificates, respectively, in the UK. They then self-released their fourth album, Memory and Humanity, in 2008. Through their short-lived label, Join Us. The album arguably being their most eclectic to date. Following this, the band tied themselves to another independent label for Welcome Home Armageddon in 2011, Conduit in 2013, which Conduit fucking rips, and Chapter and Verse in 2015, which is also very good. They, on those records, returned to a more metal and hardcore, post-hardcore influence like of their earlier work, which it was good to see them back kind of in their element, right? Because actually, the EPs before this first record, there's a song called The Art of American Football, for example. It's just straight up like hardcore punk, really. Like they are a much more heavy band than this album, or, you know, they were heavier, right? And then their debut, there's some songs that are, you know, all clean vocals, or mostly like it's split screaming with some clean, but there is a mix. Whereas The Art of American Football does have some clean vocals, but it is like 85% screamed and just super fast, and like that's kind of where they were. But yeah, I do like where they settled out, you know. But anyway, so in September of 2015, they announced their breakup and final tour in 2016. On May 21st, 2016, they played their last performance to a sold-out forum in London. In 2019, they actually reunited as a live band, initially for three benefit shows, two in Cardiff at the Cardiff University Student Union, followed by one in London at Shepherd's Bush Empire. All these names just sound so like distinguished and fun. Following a planned performance at the cancelled 2020 Download Festival, they announced a headline UK tour for April 2021, playing songs from their first three albums. When Michael Davies, one of January Thirst's original vocalists, this is going back to the history now, quit in December of 2001, Matthew Evans and Johnny Phillips invited Matt Davies, later Davies Cray, to try out for the vacated singer position. Soon after, the band reformed as Funeral for a Friend. The name is derived from a song by Planes Mistaken for Stars, which is one of Davies' favorite bands at the time. Not, which I feel like I read this a long time ago, only because I think the internet was just dumb and people were just like, oh yeah, that must be it. There's also an Elton John song called Funeral for a Friend, but that is not where they got the name from. So, during the start of the new year, they parted ways with their second guitarist, Kerry Roberts, who is Chris Coombs Roberts' brother, found a suitable replacement in Darren Smith. The band recorded four tracks at Mighty Adam Studios for a proposed self-financed EP with another Welsh band from this moment on. Upon hearing the tracks, Mighty Adam Records approached the band and offered a two-album deal, resulting in their debut EP, Between Order and Model, in 2002. Before the EP's release, Andy Morris, who was on bass, quit, with Phillips and Evans also leaving. The band then recruited Gareth Davies on bass and Ryan Richards on drums. Matt Davies became the band's only primary vocalist, with Gareth Davies performing backing melodies and Richards taking over Evans' screaming role. Citation needed on that, but sure. In 2003, they then recorded their second EP, Four Ways to Scream Your Name. In mid-2003, the band secured their first Kerrang Award, winning the award for Best UK Newcomer, beating The Darkness, which fucking good, who won in all other nominated categories for some reason. Funeral for a Friend's win was largely attributed to their fervent fan base, as the award's winner was decided by public vote online at the official Kerrang website. On October 20th, 2003, after recording for the duration of the summer, their full-length album was finally released to critical acclaim in the UK. Now, it did not see a concurrent release in the US. That is interesting to note. It eventually released here July 13th, 2004, which makes sense as to why I didn't hear it or hear about it until like October of 04-ish when I heard it on the video game, but it was still relatively new at that time. Instead, a 7-track mini album entitled Seven Ways to Scream Your Name was released and featured songs from the band's Beyond, Between Order and Model, and Four Ways to Scream Your Name EPs, plus Juno B-side The Getaway Plan. In the UK, the album received a gold certification a year after its release in October of 2004, with the sales figure over 100,000 copies. The lineup for this album was as follows: Gareth Davies on backing vocals and bass, Chris Roberts on guitar, Matt Davies on lead vocals, Ryan Richards on drums and screen vocals, and Darren Smith on guitars. Real quick, I find this kind of interesting. The album featured the newly recorded versions of Red is the New Black and Juno, spelled J-U-N-O, eventually renamed Juno as in the city in Alaska, like J-U-N-E-A-U, from their Beyond Order and Model EP. It also features remastered versions of She Drove Me to Daytime Television and Escape Artists Never Die from the Four Ways to Scream Your Name EP. The latter is slightly remixed. Waking Up on this record was a largely rewritten version of a song called Summer's Dead and Buried, which is one of the band's earliest songs, and it's pretty good. And it's kind of interesting how you can hear the song Waking Up, like you can tell, okay, here's what they took, here's what they cut, and everything else. And I think they ended up with a much better song officially, but it is kind of cool to see where it started from, right? And then Storytelling had previously been recorded in studio after Beyond Order and Model came out. But the band liked this demo, but this version hadn't been released at the time. It can be found on the 10th anniversary edition of the EP, as well as the out-of-print digital CD edition of Your History is Mine. Moments Forever Faded was also previously demoed, again featured on that digital CD. Rookie of the Year was featured on the soundtracks of WWE WrestleMania 21. And, like I said earlier, Burnout 3, Takedown. The album received very positive reviews from the British press. NME writer Dan Martin gave the album 8 out of 10 and praised the album, calling it a fearsome debut and stating that, quote, it would be unfair on everyone else to call Casually Dressed and Deep in Conversation the first great album to come out of all this, but what is true is that this fiery, dynamic hulk of a record will be the first to break properly out into daylight. I guess speaking about the genre they were in, right? It was also featured at number 17 in New Musical Express's Albums of the Year for 2003. Then in 2012, British publication Rock Sound added the album to their 101 Modern Classics, placing it at number 33 between Lamb of God's As the Palaces Burn and Glassjaw's Worship and Tribute, saying that it evidences a remarkable young band who, on their debut full-length release, were already the finished article, establishing a sound that continues to define an entire generation. Speaking of that sound, let's get into the music. Track 1, Rookie of the Year. This is one of my favorite songs, period, of any band, of anywhere, right? I implore you, if you have not heard it, please go check it out. It's incredible. My guess, if I had to guess, is that it is about a wedding, judging from the lines in the chorus where he references a white wedding dress. And it's just awesome the way he delivers the lines. Like, you know, he says, thank you for making me worthless in your eyes. I love that line, but he also screams. Well, actually, he doesn't, which doing research, I didn't know that their drummer is the screamer, which is kind of cool. But, you know, he says, "Thank you for making me worthless in your eyes." And, like, it's fucking great. I don't know. Then later screams, which I think is cool, because it's, like, really aggressive. But he's happy, but it's, like, super aggressive. He's like, "Thank you for making this the best day of my life." Doo-doo-doo. He just, like, again, he sounds super upset, but he's, like, really happy. And then the end of the song, with the bridge and the lyrics and everything, where it says, "Hope and desperation, my only light. And time will take us all and drown us in its wake. And clearly I will stay and wipe the blood from your white wedding dress." And he kind of fades out to that, like repeating, "Your white wedding dress and wipe the blood from your, and, oh man, he really kind of just thrown right into it. Like, no warm up, no nothing. Like, it just really jump kicks your ears, right? Sets the tone for the record extremely well. So then on to track two, Bullet Theory. Again, not super sure about this song, but this one seems to be about a breakup. Most of the songs seem to be about breakups and relationships going sour. But, you know, he starts, so he says, "Who shot the bullet that killed the air tonight? Without a thought, without a reason. Take a gun called hate up against your heart and pull the trigger." He screams that to open the song. So it's like, okay. But then I think it's a little more intent, a little more clear in his intent in the second verse, where it says, "The smoke and mirrors, the lies that wind your tongue. Is this oppression what we wanted or what we needed? As we function on impatience and our patience wearing thin, you live a lie that will destroy us all." Which leads into a weird but cool bridge where he says, "Back into the left a bunch." And he's like, "Back into the left." Doom, 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 doom. Then he ends it with, "Come on and shoot, motherfucker." Again, weird JFK vibes there, but just a cool ass song. I don't know. You know, draw your own conclusions there. But to me, it sounds like, again, like it's a breakup thing. And he's like real angry, because that's just what you did back then, right? You were just angry and you screamed about it. Track three, one of the more well-known songs off of the record, which, according to what I kind of read on Wikipedia, it's like the most well-known song by them, Juno. This song was first written by Matt, who, you know, lead vocal songwriter. He said it's the first song he ever wrote when he was 16 years old. I'd say it's a damn good song for a 16-year-old. I do love the lines where he says, "Yet I'm nothing more than a line in your book. If this is what I'm meant for, no longer interesting, fall forward to even the score, just the thought of you." Again, just real quick, if you haven't heard this record, one, why are you listening to this episode? And two, go listen to the album. Like, do it now. Turn this off, go listen to it, and come right back. You will thank me, trust me. Now, track four, "Bend Your Arms to Look Like Wings." Track four, this song is pretty great. Like, it starts out a little... There's a lot of clean vocals, and he comes in singing, "As the sun sets on battlefield, I hope you can save me. I hope you can save our wounded hearts." And I don't know, this song to me, like I said earlier, most of the songs are kind of like breakup relationship-centric songs. I think this is kind of, to me, it sounds like he is, you know, comparing it to a war or a battlefield, right? It's, you know, it's very dramatic, which... Of course it was. It was the time everything was. You know, and later he says, "And distance makes my heart go colder, and distance make my heart seem older. It's just enough to cut the air from your lungs. As the sun sets on battlefields," and he kind of keeps going through that. And, you know, again, it's just it's an upbeat song. I love the music. One thing they do well is they kind of mix in some, like, crunchy, like, real heavy guitars into the clean vocals, and of course, the screamed vocals as well, but there's a good mix of some of the hardcore elements that I feel like, I can't think of any off the top of my head, but some bands that got lumped into the post-hardcore screamo world that weren't, like, really incorporating anything from hardcore in their music. They just kind of got lumped in because they screamed or something, but, like, the rest of the music didn't really support that, I guess, didn't really support them being lumped in with other bands that were doing different things musically and that kind of stuff. I say that to say that Funeral for a Friend always seemed to be the type of band that was, like, very, you know, you could tell where they came from. And listening to their older things, older songs, like I said before, very much, like, in the hardcore punk kind of, you know, some clean vocals, but mostly not area. So that's always kind of neat. But yeah, I think it's a pretty pretty straightforward song. And then I do like the way it ends. It's very like, you know, he says, and bloody hands in the middle, they would meet as the sun sets. And it's like, he's screaming like, as the sun sets. And then the guitar is just, it's kind of a nice melody, right? Kind of goes out on a, almost like a positive, not I say positive, but it's an upbeat note, right? But then you get to track 5, Escape Artists Never Die. And it comes in just like it comes in real driving. It's like, the red poison of your lips, the red poison of your eyes is where I kiss the blood from. Just that corner of your mouth where I can see the white of your smile. Up to my neck when I'm breathing without you. Up to my eyes and I'm seeing without you. And, you know, it says, we'll start a fire and burn some bridges. We'll make it out of here tonight. Again, seems like he's walking away from somebody, but doing it in the most dramatic and or angsty way possible. I do love the, you know, this song as well, towards the end where he's like, please someone help me. I'm dying here in front of you. And it's like, it's just so over the top, man. But his voice and the way everything's playing around him, it is, again, to me, this album still holds up extremely well, even 17, 18 years later. Like, it's still awesome. And then I do love the way it ends. It's just really fucking cool where he says, with 100,000 lights, timing is everything. You know, with 100,000 lights, timing is everything to me. And then he kind of says, timing is everything. Starts to fade out. It's everything. Do, 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 boom. Then there's like just a single bell ride hit or whatever. It's like, ding, ding, do, do. And it has this whole like section where it plays out the song, and it's just fucking great, man. When I saw them live, the one time I saw them live was 2007's Warped Tour, and Tales Don't Tell Themselves had just come out, but they only did like 2 songs off of that record. So they did most every other song was from this record and from Ours. And I gotta say, they were fucking incredible live. Like, they were absolutely amazing live. You know, if you could ever, I know they're doing tours now, like overseas and everything, you know, where they're from, but if they somehow ever, like, you know, got it together and were like, yeah, we're going to do a U.S. tour. My God, 100% go see them, because they are one of those bands that just like, they just nail it live. Like, they don't, I don't know. I don't know what all to say, what else there is to say about them. Like, they are an incredible band live and on record. But again, if you could ever see them live, you ever get a chance, by all means, take that shit. Next up, track 6, Storytelling. He starts off, this song is pretty, again, high energy. It's like kind of jump kicky in the face, right? He says, you say it's not going to work out. Why do you have to tell me now? Is there a difference in anything you've said and done? Or is it just the way we've been pretending? And the chorus, you know, obviously, I'm leaving. Do me a favor. Don't even think of me now. Just when you thought this was over, it had only just begun. And then, you know, verse 2, I'm not going to let this tear me apart. She's not my only reason. He's not my only reason. She said, you're a weakness to me. You should have sent a note or wrote me a letter. So this song is very much, this is one of the more clear examples of, yes, this is somebody he does not like. Here's a relationship that is going sour. Here it is. Like, that, this song is not so wrapped in like metaphors or anything. It's like very straightforward. And then, yeah. You know, it's one of those things, too. This album came out right, and I say I heard it right around the time that I started to date someone who was, like, my first real, like, girlfriend, like, long-term, you know, in love, whatever. I was, like, you know, 20 years old, whatever it was. And this album kind of carried me, you know, we were firmly in the relationship and the happy part, I guess, when this record was out and when I was really listening to it. And then Ours came out, same thing. Summer of 05 was like, you know, this amazing, like, oh yeah, this person's great, you know, whatever. And then by 06, things had soured and things had gone by the wayside. And so these albums that were super like, oh, it's just a great album. These songs are just awesome, whatever. Can't super relate to them yet because I haven't really experienced anything that he's talking about here. So I don't, you know, I'm just like listening to it because he's just screaming. He's screaming some aggressive shit and over some cool music. And I'm not like, again, like I couldn't necessarily relate to a lot of this, like the loss. And because I did have a girlfriend once before this and we only dated for a couple of months. It wasn't like, you know, it was, I guess it hurt for like a week maybe. I don't know. And it was kind of like, oh, okay, well, I guess that's a breakup, whatever. And So I didn't have this, like, I don't know, like this sort of feeling of like just betrayal and like the hurt that comes along with a breakup of, you know, after you've been with somebody for almost 2 years or whatever. Like it was, so then these albums turn from these great whatevers to, oh shit, I can relate to this and this is fucking tearing my heart out. So in this song, he ends it with a, you said I hated you. If only that were true. You should have said that we'd be happy now. I should have said that we'd be happy now. I wish it was how we planned. That's just, it ends with that kind of fade out and like that repeating of those lines. And it's like, boy. It's just funny how, you know, you look at songs like that, or you listen to something for a long time, and then something comes along and happens and changes you, and then, or an experience changes the way you look at the song forever. And not say forever. I mean, now, of course, I mean, it's been fucking, I don't know, 15, 16 years since that. So it is what it is, right? Like it's firmly in the past. But at the time, it definitely switched this album, these albums from what I was, you know, from one thing to another, from like really good to like fuck that album, man. But, you know, it wouldn't be life without those moments, right? Like they're pretty great because you learn from them and then you grow, and it's I think it all worked out for the best. But moving right along, gonna keep the sad train rolling. Moments Forever Faded at track 7. So this is one, ooh, you know, he starts off in the black and white, your wounds all bound, sitting at the table, biting nails all short to the consequence of adultery as he rips you from your skin. We're all paying for this, and in your prayers, you believe, you believe. Then in the chorus, it says, you believe, dude, just for the first time. It kind of goes through this, just for the last time. You believe, a seam away from breaking. You believe, always forever. You know, tasting you for the first time, just to breathe you in, breaking you for the first time. Bathe in sin, bathe in sin. So, just real quick, going back to that relationship before, there was an instance of infidelity on the other person's part, and that's what initially broke us up. And then we eventually did get back together. It wasn't for very long, and then, you know, then it was gone for good. But that's, again, the song is very explicitly referencing infidelity, and it's like, boy, thank you for that, funeral friend. I love the bridge. He's like, the embers will burn you. Do, boom, 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 do, boom. Then he keeps going with that, and it's like in the background, he's like, we'll burn you. Do. It's like, it's real, just like builds up. It's pretty fucking great. And then at the very end, kind of, he ends with a, moments forever faded, we'll burn you tonight. Do. And so that's a, you know, it's still kind of like a fuck off type song, right? But then we move into one of the more, this is like, it is where it gets aggressive. Here's where it gets into my MySpace headline changing or like aim away message territory, where it's like, I'm gonna write something real fucking cool. Like people are gonna worry, and I want people to wonder what's going on. You know, that sort of thing. Track 8. She drove me to daytime television. So originally released on the EP Four Ways to Scream Your Name. In the US, it was released on the hybrid EP that I mentioned earlier, Seven Ways to Scream Your Name, and Between Order and Model EPs. So there's that, right? You know, it starts off, you screaming, can't beat the best ones, a little closer, maybe a bit too close. You function, you turn out a flawless performance. Turn the camera away from me, spill your guts in 8mm, put your focus where your mouth is. You're the only one who's fading here. So the verse, so verse two is where it's like it gets real, just like, you know, again, aggressive, overly dramatic. He says, I like the way you cry. Break my heart and break my hands and let me down. I want to snap your neck in two and leave you for dead. You're so dead. It sounds ridiculous reading that, it just in a, you know, very calm tone, because he's not screaming it, but he is singing it loud, and you know, it is very impactful and very emotional. He is really going for it, and it's great in its own way. But I just, like, man, some of these songs, some of these lyrics from the music that I used to listen to back then, and used to really wrap myself up in, like, oh yeah, oh that motherfucker, yeah, ooh, you know, it's like, it's so not, it was so not healthy, I guess, looking back, right? Really glad, I guess, I've progressed from that and grown, and I think I've grown into a fairly well-adjusted adult. And who is a decent person. But Oh man, this stuff is it's something. But you know, it ends just kind of again, it has a real cool ending. I don't know, they know how to end a fucking song. Like they really take you out on a cool fucking note, man. It's just like, you know, he's just it's simple. He's just screaming on and on and on and on. He's like on and on and on and on and on. Do, 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 boom, boom, and these big guitars, everything. Then he finally ends it with, you know, on and on and on and on and on. Go! Do, 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 boom. And so it's, you know, really ramps it up for Red is the New Black, which I feel like is the most aggressive song on this record. Oh boy. So this one, he starts off with. It's real quiet, you know. He's like, can't pretend that you're nothing special. You've got to look at all of your options. You can't decide what to go for when it's all about trust. It's all about trust. You see yourself on the TV. You read your magazines. You can't explain how it's come to be this. Stop and think. When it's all about trust, it's all about trust. And then comes in. He goes, go, do 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 do, and yeah, it's great. But then it gets into the verses where he's like screaming. He screams a couple of lines, or actually not him, but I guess the drummer screams a few lines, and then Matt comes in and sings, and it's a good contrast. It's a fun trade-off there, right? He's like, this coverage. And he's like, your center's, and then in the background, your center's Brett. Like he's just like also accenting the clean vocals by repeating the clean vocals, but also screams. It's like I always loved the way that sound. And live, the song is fucking great. And it's like, your neon light daydream will shatter and break. But then, you know, he's like, in the middle of the day, he's like, we'll shatter and break. You know, so it's a whole fucking thing, man. It's cool. And then this is also, again, going back to the relationship aspect and how I just like, oh, now this song makes more sense to me. He says, this situation isn't getting any better. You know, yeah, I see the look in your eyes. You want to see a pretty face? And then he says, he just kind of says, like spoken word, or he goes, there isn't anything wrong with giving up. And for what it's worth, do, 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 do. Then he comes in with the, I still hate you. It's like, yeah, I feel that. But then, you know, in the chorus, she says, this eventual stop, this break in the mold, I scream down this hotline just to feel something. And it kind of just goes through all that and then ends with, the situation isn't getting any better, losing control. I see that look in your eyes. And he repeats that a few times. And finally, he's like, this situation is, it's all fucked. And then, you know, just has these kind of rapid fire riffs coming in. Just do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do- great. And then we slow things down. Fully just like acoustic guitar sounding. No screaming, no nothing. It's just Matt singing track 10, Your Revolution is a Joke. Do not know what the song's about. Not even going to pretend to know. But I just know that I like it. And, you know, I like the line where he says, we stand to fight for nothing. So close your eyes and stay away. Don't believe their headlines. They poison our minds every day. It will never be the same. With purpose buried every day and lies that lead you to the grave, as some will say. And, you know, he kind of repeats that, as some will, lies that lead you to the grave, as some will say. He says, your revolution is a joke, as I will say. I wish I could have found more about this, but like song genius and like song meanings and all these other places have absolutely nothing about the meaning of that song. And I was thinking, like, maybe if I looked up, was there some sort of like political conflict at the time in their home country that maybe that's what that was about? That's what I'm guessing. I just didn't want to, you know, dive into a whole history lesson on the show, but if I had to guess, I assume it'd be something like that. But moving right along, track 11, Waking Up. I love this song. It reminds me of my second semester in college and the way our campus was set up at McNeese. You know, you had to park in the freshman parking, which was like literally like a mile away from some of your classes. So, you know, it was like a good 18 minute walk to class. You know, there's a part of the end of the song where he says, when everything's said and done, we're dead and buried. And he keeps going, we're dead and buried. And then it kind of and then it drops out and he comes back. I love that because it kind of he's singing. And he's like, "We're dead and buried." Then it kind of just fades and he comes back. And will this never end? I'm tired of all this walking. Do do. And then he has a really sick ass drum beat comes in. And if this never ends, I'll walk until my feet are bleeding. And it's like me walking, feeling like my fucking feet were gonna bleed. It was like, fuck yeah, man, I get that. And he's like, oh, until my feet are bleeding. Do, 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 do. So I've always loved that. The rest of the song, it's just great. I don't know. It's I love the first verse. He says, you know, is a lie just the truth uncovered and unrelinquished? A passion for all young fools? Is a lie more than truth? A question left unanswered to feed the failure of our choices. And then the chorus, and in my hand our blood recovered, and for our faith we're undeserved. And in my hand our blood recovered, and in your faith completely. And he says, verse two is a little more clear, I think. He says, you know, do we wait all this time and follow blindly hating, killing all that we survey? Must we hate all this time and let our anger lead us to our bitter end? So do with that what you will. I'm going to move right along to the closing track, Novella, and it is about as perfect of a fucking closer as you can get, I'll be honest. So he comes in just right off the bat. Wasting time, doo-doo, it's over and ended. Wasting time, we deserve. Like, it just throws you right into the shit, right? I love this fucking song. I love the chorus and everything. He says, I can see the headlights and pavements. My legs can't carry me that far. If this distance isn't enough, they'll cry another river to see you drown. Faceless lies, it's easy to speak when every word is your own. Selfish eyes look onward in protest as we tear down their disguise. And he kind of says that, you know, screaming that, their disguise. You know, guitars are hitting really hard. And then he comes in with I can see the headlights. Boom, I can see the headlights and pavements. It goes right into the chorus again. Pretty great. And then it ends, it has this long build-up, and I love the drum beat in this part of the guitar. It's just like, doo 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 doo. And it's just like this real cool melody, and then the drums and the bass coming into it, like everything, this whole part musically is, maybe I'm making too much of it, but it's like, I fucking love it. And then he comes in with, your days were golden, your days were golden while we bled. Anyway, so it keeps going with that, and then, you know, it's while we bled, and then he ends with, while we bled. And then it has this big fucking instrumental ending or whatever for like a solid minute or so, and it's, again, it's like the perfect fucking way to end the album. Like, it's just great and just leaves you wanting more, kind of like I'm gonna do for you guys. Because if you want more Funeral for a Friend, be sure to come back next week, where I'm gonna be talking about Hours, the second album from this band, and also my second grail that I got in when I got all three records. So that's it for me this week. I appreciate y'all for sticking around. It was kind of a long one, but there was a lot to talk about, there's a lot to get into, and I'm just super excited to talk about this band because I've been waiting so long to have these records, and I'm really glad to be able to talk about them and maybe provide some information that you didn't know about them, you know, and I hope we had some fun. So be sure to subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts to so you don't miss the second part of this. I say the second part of this episode. It's not going to be this, you know what I mean? It's going to be Funeral for a Friend Part 2. And then, you know, I'm closing out the year with some pretty awesome episodes, I think. And, you know, I just want you to all stick around. I want you to be there for that. So, again, follow me on Instagram at the_vinyl_podcast. Put every million fucking underscores. Vinyl Podcast 5 on Twitter and the Vinyl Countdown Podcast on, I believe, on TikTok, because why not? Because I'm a fucking child. And also on Facebook, same thing, which I hardly ever check in anyway, and nobody ever interacts with me there, but sure. So yeah, so with that, as always, I'm Jeremy Levine, and this has been the Vinyl Countdown. So I hope to be in your ears next week, everybody. Thank you all for listening. Take care.